It was just like something kept me going and kind of thinking about me having the gospel. And I'm like, I can't give up on this. I have to go, because I understand there's a lot of people who are in darkness and need the light of the Savior, and this what the gospel offers. So
I love that.
I'm not here because of so-and-so. I'm here because of Jesus Christ. And I feel like when you have that centered focus on Jesus, everything kind of fades away, because we know that Jesus Christ is perfect and people aren't imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the church, the doctrine is perfect, but we deal with imperfect people. And there's a place here waiting for you. For your business,
yeah, we're on the Lord's time, sharing his love and his life. Hey, y'all, welcome to the Brothers in the Foyer podcast. We have a great show here for you today. But first, be sure to like and subscribe and share us with your friends, whether that's somebody who's investigating the church or someone who may be struggling with their faith. Be sure to share this with them or and everybody else that you know or think that this would be helpful for them. Also, we want to give a shout out to Serve Clothing. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't think I've had a better button-up white shirt. Has vents. It's super nice. Like, I honestly really like the collar. Like, and they have some super great, you know, P-Day type clothing, as well as, like, I have this like super like slick hoodie. It's super thin, and honestly, they're great. So check them out. Be sure to use the code FOYERFAM, and we'll have a link at the bottom so that you can check it out. Today we have a great guest with us today, Prisca Sabel.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about a few things with her today, and super excited. So again, tune in and let's do this thing. So Prisca, tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from, how you got here. Tell us about a little bit more about you.
All right. Hi, everyone. I'm Prisca Sabel. So I'm from Kentucky, but originally from Africa. I have 5 siblings, including myself. My whole family live in Kentucky. I'm here in Utah, going to BYU, so go Cougs.
Let's go.
I served a mission. I served my mission, New York City mission, and from 2022 to 2024, and I'm so grateful to be here. So thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Awesome. So when you were in New York, did you speak just English, or do you have a language that you spoke?
So I was called to serve English speaking, but with my background, I do speak French. So I had also opportunity to teach people the gospel in French, which was really cool because honestly, it helped me practice my French and it was awesome. So I'm grateful for that.
Wow.
No, that's awesome.
Wow.
Is French, is that a second language for you, first language, or?
It is, yeah. So French, it is my second language. My first, like, native language will be Lingala, but I am not the best at it.
Uh-oh.
Even with my French, it's slowly fading away, but I try to keep up with it. So, yeah.
It's hard here sometimes because I feel it like is. Everybody knows English. Like, I served my mission in Kenya and Tanzania, and we had really used Swahili, and there it was great because I could go in between English and Swahili and some of their other like mother languages. And now since I've gotten home from my mission, I've used it 3 times.
Mm.
Like, everybody just speaks English here, and it can be hard for people to keep that up.
Right.
Yeah. When there's not much of a, I guess, a need,
yeah,
or the populace doesn't speak as much. I think some of the languages that we see the most are Mandarin, Spanish, obviously.
Yeah.
A lot of Mandarin and Spanish are kind of like those 2 languages that kind of be easier to keep up with.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. You said you just got home from your mission in 2024,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
Congrats on serving a mission.
Yeah. Yes.
You.
Yeah. We all have served missions, and we know that, you know, there was difficult times, there were good times. Could you maybe share like a time where like your experience of serving a mission like helped you or pushed you to where you are today?
Yeah, honestly, I'm a convert to the church. So after hitting a year being a part of the church, that's when I decided to go serve a mission. I really didn't have the full knowledge or understanding of what I was getting myself into. I was just like, I love this gospel. I love Jesus. So let's go. Let's go. So going on my mission and kind of, you know, getting a taste of what it really is, it was hard mentally. It was very demanding. Yeah. And I wasn't really prepared for that. So there are times that I had a hard time mentally because I do like struggle from mental health. Mm-hmm. So I was having a hard time, but also I'm grateful that I stayed for the whole 18 months because honestly, it was the best thing that I ever could have done. I remember even having hard days where I'm like, I can't do this right now. I'm really struggling. There are times I had mental breakdown, but just talking to someone and hearing about their struggle, it kind of, you know, gave me an opportunity to testify the Savior Jesus Christ because I've seen that in my life. Yeah, so that like kept me going. And I'm like, God has a plan for me and I know I'm supposed to be here. Even it's hard and I'm not alone. This is not my work. It's Heavenly's Father's work. So He'll help me accomplish it. So those like little moments, it was just like something kept me going and kind of thinking about me having the gospel, and I'm like, I can't give up on this. I have to go because I understand there's a lot of people who are in darkness and need the light of the Savior, and this what the gospel offers. So
I love that.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. It's a huge testament to your faith. Like you, I was only 1 year a member as well before I decided to serve a mission. Had no idea what I was doing. The only advantage I felt like it was that I was a bit older. I was 23. When I was baptized, so I was not mature, but maturing, right? And so thank you for your faith. And I do want to ask you, just taking a step back, and again, testament to you sharing, you know, your fight with mental health, because that's something we've talked about on our podcast too, in terms of like the challenges of mental health. And it sounds like you were able to go serve a mission, be successful in your mission, all while allowing a Savior to help you through that. And so that's a testament to our audience members who are, you know, have those struggles that the Savior can help always, you know, overcome our adversities in that. So thank you for sharing that as well. That'll help a lot of people. Going just a step back, can you share, like, you served a mission? How was it for you coming into the gospel? Could you share your experience of how you found the gospel and what that was like coming up all the way up to your baptism?
Yeah. I grew up Catholic. My family's still practicing that. At the age of 16, that's during pandemic. I was a sophomore in high school. I think just being at home now, being able to go to school in person and kind of being, you know, restricted from my hobbies because I love being active and I was playing soccer at the time and volleyball. So I was trying to like juggle the things, and that's just being active helps me a lot. And then that being taken away from me and just being completely like all by yourself at home. And I don't do well with like online classes, not gonna lie. It's not really my thing.
Nobody does.
So I felt like I had to adjust to that. And it was hard. And then after classes were done, I literally had nothing else to do because I was stuck at home. And with my mental health, it was not working for me. So I had to find a way to keep myself entertained and keep going. That's when YouTube kind of came in place. And I'm like, I'm just going to distract myself. I'm going to start watching YouTube randomly and just kind of decompress from that. And then this is just a typical day. Done with my online classes, I hop on YouTube. I was watching a video, but I can't remember exactly what I was watching. And then I kind of paused. It took us to an ad, and this ad pops into my screen, and it was just talking about the Savior, and it just drew my attention completely because it talks about the Savior in a way that I've never heard before, because growing up, it was more like Jesus died for you. He loves you. Okay, that's about it. But I was talking about the atonement of Jesus Christ. And at the time, I didn't know what the atonement was.
Right.
Mm.
But it just felt, I was very curious. It's like, I really want to learn more. Like, I really do. So I did click the ad and fill out my personal info. And then later on, the missionary just called me up, hey, Prisca, we just saw your request. We'll love to help you learn more about the Savior. I was like, perfect. And they go, like, how old are you? I was like, 16. And they're like, okay, but we do need your parents' permission just because you're still underage. And I'm like, I knew from the start my parents will be like, no. And no, we don't do that. So luckily, my mom was home that day. So I just grabbed my mom's phone. They texted my mom. And then I confirmed with them. I was like, yeah. And I deleted the phone number from my mom's phone. So I give her phone back. And then the mission called me like, hey, your mom said yes. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, did she say yes?
Yeah. So I just kept doing like this virtue studies with the missionary behind my parents' back because they didn't know what I was doing. And we, you know, they taught me about the gospel, everything, and it just felt so good. It's just something about the things that they said that touched me, that I was not aware or I didn't know about God and his nature and who truly he is. But they were able to help me understand those things. So I was just like, this feels right. It there's something about them that just was hard for me to deny. And then later on, they invited me to be baptized. I was just like, oh, I was already baptized. Like, no. And they had to kind of break down like proper authority and like being baptized with the power of God. So I was just like, oh, that makes sense. But then and then they're like, well, we still need your parents' permission just because I was still 16 at the time.
Did you just accept that one too?
Yeah, I was like, oh no, what did I get myself into? And I was just like, crap.
So how did that play out though?
Yeah.
I got to a point where I couldn't like sign the paper on my own. So I had no choice but to just come clean to my family and tell them what has been happening. So I remember just like telling my family, and it was really hard. There was a lot of like disagreement, and there's a lot of it was just very not a good discussion with my family. They automatically just like, no, you don't know this church, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Like, I feel like I understand why, because I was 16 and obviously they were just looking out for me.
Right.
But I also was like, I know that to be true though. I just had this conviction in my heart that it was time for me. And so them saying no to me, and they were also mad at me for just like kind of having this discussion with the mission without their awareness into it.
Right.
So I had to call the missionary and just be like, actually, they say no. But I didn't tell them like when I first confirmed with my parents that it was me instead of my parents. So
it's tough conversations for
everyone. Yeah, tough. Yeah, so I kind of had to disconnect myself from the missionary a little bit because I was struggling with my family at the time. We're just having a lot of problems. And they kind of, you know, started talking me out of it. And then they brought like the, you know,
priest.
Not really. It was just like, you have to look into the church. And that's when I kind of started being open about it to friends and colleagues. And they're all just like, kind of start bringing anti. And then I read a chapter in the Book of Mormon about Black people being cursed with the dark skin. Yeah. That also played a big, big role into all of the emotions I was going through. But I still never denied the fact that I felt like this peace every time I met with them. Honestly, in the midst of all, I missed that feeling. I felt like I was missing something. And I'm like, yeah, I'm all over the place right now trying to figure out if I want to be baptized and reading about the Book of Mormon. And then pull up a computer, doing my own research and find just a lot of anti. And I'm fun about a lot of Brigham Young. I felt like, I was like, this is a mess. What's happening? And I remember like kind of asking the missionary about it. They kind of brush it off. Like, oh, just so you know, be around the bushes. But I also understand why, because it's hard as a missionary.
Right.
And mind you, they're like two white elders. Like, they don't know what to tell you about that. So it was hard on their side too. I understand that as, you know, myself being, as I served a mission, I just had to take a step back. I went through process and trying to see where I stand with the gospel and all this and my family, because I really do love my family and I wanted them to support me and to be part of every single step, but it was just not happening at the moment. So I just decided to reach back to the missionaries because I felt like I could not go through it on my own, because every time I tried, it was just getting overwhelmed and confusing. And I just like called the mission. I was like, I know it's hard right now, but can we just go back into learning with you guys? Because I miss feeling the Spirit. Even at the time, I didn't have the Spirit. I didn't know what it was, but I just miss having that. And I reached out, I was like, please. And they kind of helped me navigate through all the things. And then I kind of stopped looking past those things. And I'm like, okay, I think there's more than that. There got to be more than that. That's when I found Sense Unscripted. Mm-hmm. The channel really played a big role because they talked about the flag, the priest, and all that. It kind of started clearing some certain things. In my mind, I'm like, okay, yeah, let's go. So after watching Sense Unscripted, I kind of started having clear mind, and I'm like, okay, I think this church is more than, you know, that. And I am... That's when I decided. So at the time, I'm already 17. Mm. So, and I'm like, okay, I have to make a decision. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this decision is going to definitely cause more problem. Because at the time, I was like, I'm just going to be Baptist. Because I'm like, I just cannot. Because I told the missionaries, why can I just not have the Spirit when you guys are around me? Like, mm-hmm. I just don't want to have it when you guys are here.
Yeah.
Like, I want to have it on my own. Like, well, you have to be baptized, Priska. And I was just like, okay. I need the Spirit. Like, I just need the Spirit. Because my family right now, it's hard and school and all that. And I cannot go a day without the Spirit. So I want that all the time. That's when, in the midst of like all this, because some of my extended family, like my aunties, kind of cut connection with me, because like, we don't want to talk with you because we don't know who you are anymore. Mm. Like, we don't want, yeah, they're kind of scared, like, you're going to change. And I was like, no, I'm still going to be the same me. But they're just like, kind of, they don't want nothing to do with me anymore at that time. And I was just really, really, it was hard for me at the time, but I also knew, like, I felt like I was being torn apart, choosing my family or the gospel. But also the thing is, the gospel was hard for me to deny it. Mm-hmm. I got to a point where I was just like, you guys don't understand. Like, it's more than just, you know, Jesus. There's something about this church that just makes me really happy and brings me joy. And I know you guys can see that because you haven't had the experiences that I have reading the Book of Mormon, going to church and all that. It was just hard for me to deny that. And I remember just having a conversation with my mom. I said, Mom, I just want to talk to you by yourself. Like, I don't want you to include like anyone. I just want to have this one-on-one conversation with you. And I remember just like breaking down to her and telling her like about like the things I've learned and the Spirit and all that process. And I'm like, I know I love you guys, but it's not like I'm going to be different. I hope that you understand where I'm coming from, because these are like my experience. You might not see that. You might not see them because you haven't had them, Mom, but I have had them. And it's hard to deny those experiences. And then my mom was just like, well, Prescott, I don't know what to tell you right now. And she goes like, I don't even know who you are right now. And then she was just like, oh, well, if that what brings you happiness, or that's what you want to do, do it.
Yeah.
And to me, I took that as a yes, because I had like the baptism paper right there with her. And I'm like, can I please be baptized? She's like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you right now. If that's what you wanted to, go ahead. So in my mind, I took that as a yes. I was like, okay, I know this is what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. And then she just looked at me and she didn't say anything. I went just walking that out of that room sobbing, because I was like, what just happened? And I just remember signing that baptism paper, because I was just like, I have to do this for me at the same time, because this is like my experiences. This is my personal witness, and it's just mine.
Yeah.
So I just remember signing that paper and then handing back that to the missionaries. Like, so how did it go? It's like, it went good. I didn't really tell them the details because it's just hard to talk about that.
Yeah.
Mm. So I took that as a yes, and yeah, and then the day of my baptism, things were still shaky and they were still hard. And I remember days like my mom wouldn't really talk to me as much. And I didn't really have connection with my cousins anymore because of their parents were more like, no, she's different now. Like, stay away from her. I remember the day of my baptism, I already made up my mind. I prayed about it, and I had like a very, and I'm like, if I keep delaying this, I'm never going to have the Spirit with me always. And I want the Spirit really bad. So I remember the day of my baptism, I just walked out of the house. I had like this little bag, this backpack, and I put everything that I needed in that backpack. And just like, and then my mom looked at me, she's like, where are you headed? I was like, oh, I'm going swimming with Brent. Because I was scared to tell I was getting baptized. Because I knew they wouldn't even show up, or they'll just like, it'll just cause problem, and I'm never going to get baptized. So I just walked out the house and I went and I got baptized. So.
Yeah. It's sad when people will put that, they'll make up artificial barriers to say, oh, you're different now. Cause like I had that in my past too. Like when I told my dad, who isn't LDS, that I'm going on a mission. I'm leaving for 2 years, and I'm like foregoing all this, cause I played college sports. It's like, I'm going to forego my college sport experience. And I'm going to go leave for 2 years and just put it on pause. He kind of was like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, why have you, this has been so important to you, and you're just going to throw it away. You're a different person. And it almost like put up a barrier. And it's like, I'm still the same person. I'm still me. I just can't deny what is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's been revealed to me that this is the true path, I have to walk it. And it's just sad because people are missing out on like, and I've tried to like, you know, reach past that, but there's still kind of like put up those barriers. It's like, it's sad because it's like, you're missing out on a, like someone who wants to be having an amazing relationship with you, and they will kind of put up a barrier to that for a silly reason.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
I love that too. I love that. As you were speaking, it reminded me of Joseph Smith and the experience that he had, not necessarily with his family, but the opposition that he faced with his community. And then on top of that, you know, him claiming what he claimed, you know, he saw the Father, the Son, and other angels. And so I love that. I love that you followed the Spirit, and that you didn't allow
the world to stop you and even your family from pursuing what you knew to be true. And I think in life, we'll go through difficult times, and it's so important for us to stay true to what we believe in, you know. And I love that. I love how you shared that story and talked about your conversion and the witness that you received from our Father in heaven.
Yeah. I mean, that was beautiful. I mean, you know, it's a sad, unfortunate truth that some of us as God's children have to go through, you know, but the Savior had taught, you know, he said that I've come to set at variance the daughters and the mothers and the sons from the fathers, knowing that there were going to be times where the gospel could unintentionally separate families, you know, because some children may find the truth and choose, and they may have to act as small rebels, you know, but rebels for truth. And I can imagine that experience, you going through that and having, in a way, your family kind of turn on you because of a decision you were making to follow him. But those are the ones the Savior needs and he looks for and he knows, you know. So thank you, you know, so much for your faith and seeking out the Spirit, especially at the age, you know, 16, 17. I would never. What? 16, 17? What, at 16, 17 years old, I was, yeah. So, I mean, definitely not on the same path. And that's truly admirable for your, I mean, it's a great example for youth and people that are seeking truth. And just thank you. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And since you've been baptized and you went on a mission, how has your, because I mean, 2024, you just came off. How has it been in terms of what is it that you took away, you know, from your mission that you're finding yourself apply now and that you're off your mission? Like, how has that difference been for you?
In a way, honestly, it just like deepened my testimony of the Savior and the restoration. Like, I know for sure, like, I would never depart from the faith, because there's a lot of experiences that I had on my mission just over and over and over reinforced the truth of the restoration, that there's no way this all was made up. And teaching people and seeing people's lives change, especially in New York. Like, that to me is just like very engraving in my heart forever until the day I die. Like, I would never, because I know this is where the peace and this is where that, like, I guess joy come from. And I know that the gospel doesn't guarantee like a perfect life, but I think it helps us know that it's better. Like, it's not perfect, but it's better because we have the Savior. We have every tools that we need to like navigate through this life. And that's beautiful. I really, yeah.
Yeah. It gives you that confidence, that motivation and inspiration to keep going, you know, when you're going through those hard times. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So we got to ask. You mentioned part of your experience, you found out some things about, you know, the curse, right? And how Black people, you saw some things were cursed and this and that, right? I feel like as Black members have some point ran into that in our membership. How has it been like for you being a Black woman and being a member of the church? How would you describe your experience?
Oh, gosh.
You be honest.
Yes.
Know, like,
I remember my first Sunday at a church. I remember just walking to the church and be like, what? Like, it was just full of like white people, and just walking, I just felt, I was like, oh, it kind of sucks. Like, I'm the only Black person in this church. It's obvious it's been hard because we all, like, as human, we seek, you know.
And sorry, were you in Kentucky at that point? Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Bruh.
There are times sometimes I feel like I like connection with people because I was like, well, you don't understand. Like the way I would want you to. And there's sometimes I feel like I just have to play the role of fitting in, even though I don't feel like I fit in. And there's certain things that it will be asked to do. I'm like, I just don't want to do that as a Black person. Like, I feel kind of, oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I just have to fit in. But I love the gospel. I love, because people are really nice. I mean, first day, everyone hugging me and talking to me, was like, I don't even know y'all. Calm down. Calm down. But it's always that feeling of, you know, when someone looks like you and kind of, you know, you just feel that like, oh, finally, because you don't see this a lot in the church. So,
right.
Yeah.
See people like that. So it's just.
No, that's great. It's just a sense of community, you know, that you're feeling and that you want to feel. We just had someone comment on one of our, so we're doing a Black and White night, which y'all are invited. Yeah. Next Friday at the Jordan River Temple at 6 p.m. We're just all going to meet and do a session together. But someone wrote on that post that we posted about it. Well, why is it that you brothers are separating yourselves from the rest of the brothers, you know, by extending this invitation to minorities? And I just want our audience to know and everyone know, it's not a separation. But like you just expressed, you want, it feels good to see someone else that looks like you amongst something that you're a part of. It's just building community, building common level, and something that you can, having people there that you can relate to. And that's just an extension, you know, of what we're doing here. And yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like we're not trying to separate. It's like even when I was on my mission on Africa, I had white companions. They're like, oh, there's a white person over there. Let's go talk to them. It's like everybody.
So you get it.
Everybody feels it. Like, yeah. no matter where you are, if you're in the minority, you want to feel, you want to be around, true, you know, your community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think, like, people will say things like that. And it's like, but it's a natural want.
Right.
People mm-hmm. want to be around
right.
people who look like them. You know, and it's not that it's like natural man type of thing, but
yeah,
like it's something that everybody wants. Like, everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to raise a good family. Like, it's a natural want.
Yeah. That's what I did on my mission. Every person that I came in contact with that were African, Dominican, Latino, I would call my cousins and they would like look at me like, are we really cousins? You know, but it was just a way of, you know, me being happy to see them and express myself to them. But yeah, I think it's needed. And that's why we started this podcast. We want to bring people that look like us and all of God's children together. You know, we want them to see what the gospel is, you know?
Yeah, even on my mission, people were like mind blown saying Black sister. Like, wait, what? Like, there's a Black people in the church? I was like, yeah. And I remember one time on my mission, I was in a trio at the time, two white companions and myself, and this guy walks towards me and just start clapping his hand at the train. He goes, oh, wow, the LDS church has upgraded. There's a Black sister now. And I'm like, so.
Yeah, I always think it's so funny because, like, if you look at the church as a whole, it's a worldwide church. Like,
yeah,
it's starting, like, to be not so much that way. It's like, in the States, yeah, it's pretty, pretty white. But if you look outside of the States, it's pretty, you know, it's a mix.
Yeah.
There's everybody.
Yeah. And I feel that's our challenge in the Black community, being members, is ridding that bad stigma that the Black community has about us being members. I mean, we got to just start tearing down those walls. And because we are here, we're smaller in number, but we're here, and it's showing that this faith is literally for everyone, even though there were some things in the history that weren't so good and shed a bad light on race in general, but it is here and it's for everyone.
Along to that point, were there any, do you have any experiences that maybe you can share with us that you've had at BYU that you maybe have learned from, or whether that's good or bad, like pertaining to race or just your experience in the church? Or
I mean, Utah, it's kind of mind-blowing. Yeah, I've, like, being at BYU sometimes is very hard and challenging just because there's not really a lot of people that looks like you. Like, it's pretty small.
Yeah.
And I get aware of that. And I'm like, oh, dang. Like, I go to my class. Sometimes I'm sitting as the only Black person in that class. And not saying, like, there's nothing wrong with it, but it just, you feel that, like, oh, wow. You kind of feel that. And to me, that's kind of hard. Just like kind of standing out a little bit.
Feeling alone.
Yeah, kind of feeling lonely because I look and I'm like, no one looks like me. Like all my classes, every time I step in, I'm always the only Black person. And I don't like that feeling.
Yeah.
So it's hard. And Utah culture is really different. I've had like experiences where kind of, you know, my skin really kind of just played a role, like kind of like, I guess, stereotyped in a way, like,
oh, you like fried chicken.
Yeah. You're kind of less just because, like,
everybody like fried chicken.
You don't look like the rest of, you know, the standards, Utah or at BYU, because everyone here looks like alike. They all like the same thing. They all do the same stuff, but you just, especially also coming from Kentucky and the culture here, it's really not my favorite thing. But I feel like what really helps me is every time I look around, like making friends, that kind of, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with making friends that totally opposite, because I do have a lot of, you know, friends that don't look like me, and well, like from different backgrounds, all that. But I feel like it helps me when I have friends that are also minority.
Yeah.
There's just something about that. It helps a lot. It does really play a big role. So I love that I get to connect with people look like me. And also there's something that you just share something in common, because they're struggling with the same thing I'm struggling.
Right.
So we find that similarity and just connect with that. And that's really been...
That's great. How have you faith-wise combated, you know, the bad stigma that's come from the history of the church with race and the priesthood? Like, has that been something you've had to kind of face? And how have you been able to address those things that come up that sometimes maybe people may throw at you in terms of, oh, why are you a part of that faith, knowing the bad history behind it? Like, how have you dealt with that?
Yeah, on my mission, I mean, it was hard for, like, teach Black people that looked like me, because that's all they knew about the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to me, I've gone through that, so I try to kind of shift their view and perspective in more, like, there's more than that. And when obviously they do bring Brigham Young and like, well, he said this and that, like, why that church is like, Prisca, you could be part of any church. I'm like, I get it. No one's perfect, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I try to like help them. Like, hey, people make mistakes, but I think I'm not here because of so and so. I'm here because of Jesus Christ. And I feel like when you have that centered focus on Jesus, everything kind of fades away, because we know that Jesus Christ is perfect and people aren't imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like
the church, the doctrine is perfect, but we deal with imperfect people. And my testimony and things is not based off Brigham Young. Like, it's not based off anyone but Jesus Christ. And I feel like that has helped me a lot, because I'm here because of Jesus Christ. I'm not here because of anyone. anyone else but because of Jesus Christ. And that changes a lot.
Yeah.
You learn to forgive, to see people as, you know, human, because we're human, we make a mistake. But Jesus is perfect. And
wow.
Powerful. That's great.
Super powerful.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting because I feel like so many people focus on the wrong things. They focus on, oh, this person was this, this person did this. And yeah, but like you're asking somebody who isn't perfect to be perfect.
Yeah.
If you want a perfect example of anything in your life, Jesus Christ is the answer. And that's why, you know, our church is named after him.
Right.
And he's our sole focus in, you know, in everything that that the church wants to accomplish. Right. And so I just think it's sad that some people just can't get over the fact that, like, yeah, bad things happened. And it's like, if we only dwell on what's wrong, like why not ask a different question instead of, oh, why does this person say or do this? Like, why, like, go past that and say, okay, but why do all these people believe this, you know? And like, I that's something I'm working on with, like, my side of the family who isn't LDS, to help them look past that question. It's been tough. Obviously, it hasn't worked great yet, but I'm planting seeds, you know. And if if we can just get everyone to know that our sole focus is Jesus Christ, I think that would be amazing.
Yeah. I also love in the Book of Mormon, it talks about in 2 Nephi 27, I don't know, somewhere along that chapter, it talks about how God loves everyone and invites all to come unto him, black, white, whoever. And that to me was also kind of something I rely on, and I'll share that with people. I'm like, hey, but God loves all of us. He loves all, and he invites all of us to come unto him. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, your skin tone, or any of that. At the end of the day, we're all God's children. So yeah. He loves all of us.
I think that was the turning point for me, because I learned about, you know, the priesthood ban while I was on my mission. And it really just came down to, like, does God love me? You know, am I a child of God? You know, did Joseph Smith really see God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son? You know, do I believe in this? And all those questions were yes. Yeah, I believe in this. I know that I'm a child of God. Why am I, you know, just extremely focusing on this? And I think going back to Jesus Christ, this is something we touched on a few of our podcast episodes, is Jesus Christ is the reason why we're all here, you know? And if our focus, just like Paul, was it Paul walking on the water with Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Peter.
Yeah, Peter, man. Just like Peter, as soon as we take our focus off him, we begin to drown. And that's what it feels like. You know, I remember looking through the Bible and all these books I had in my missionary apartment, mm-hmm. trying to figure out how this happened. How could this happen if this is the true church, you know? And feeling like Peter, drowning. And then as soon as I realized what I was doing and turned back to Jesus Christ to pray, I felt the Spirit again. I was like, okay, all right, this is not important right now. Like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna move on. But I love that. I love how you've been able to navigate all these different difficult situations, especially at a young age. Like, 16, like Isaiah was saying, man, like, I was on a different path, bro.
I was thugging, bro. It was bad, bro. So bad.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, had I had the maturity, I mean, and I'm grateful. I have no regrets. I've lived my life with that much. But like, just thinking of where I would be now, had I had that mindset at that age, it'd do wonders, you know. But yeah, key word there was focus. I mean, that is so awesome. You were able to key in on that. And I really, my hope is that more of us can focus, you know, on a Savior. Because it's a real struggle in the Black community with that. And I feel like that's, if not the biggest hindrance, you know, for us coming in to this faith and accepting it wholly, is because of that history. And And granted, we do tend to have and hold a victimhood mentality because of just the history of America and how we've been treated. And so we got some work to do. And with that being said, like being here, because you have your background's African, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so have you noticed a difference being actually African from the motherland and there's African Americans who we don't, you know, obviously we have connections to the motherland, but we're not African. Has there been a difference for you being here that you've noticed or may not have noticed in terms of how you are interacted with and accepted here? Or do you feel like you are treated just like any other black person that's actually African American?
Mm-hmm. So I moved here when I was 11, so super like young and still like growing up. And also like moving to America, obviously I come from a place where I grew up speaking French. So it was hard for me because America did do speak English and it was not really, you know, something I was used to. So I feel like in terms of treatment, yes, I kind of struggle with connect with people because I was already kind of pointed as an outsider. And I feel like I was already put in a box in a way, like I was treated different. Like, oh, she probably is like that. I feel like people already kind of got an idea.
Projection.
Yeah. A lot of projection who I was without even getting to know me. So I feel like I wasn't really given the opportunity to introduce myself. People just saw me as a limitation to certain things. It took me a really while because after learning English, that's when my confidence kind of built up and I'm like, I'm more than that. Like, you haven't even got to know me yet. Have you? Like, give me a chance, please, before like you already put me in a box. So I felt like, yeah, I kind of was treated differently. Also, it was because of my background. But now that I've lived in the state for a little longer and I'm doing good, I'm thriving. So I feel like that it's not really a big of a deal like it used to be when I was younger and trying to navigate and trying to, like, you know, I guess fit into the culture that I wasn't really part of yet. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like it can be a struggle sometimes. Like, I, like, as someone who's been a Black American trying to fit into, like, African culture I personally don't love saying African culture because every African country has a different culture than a different African country. But in that sense, it was different, you know? So I think in any way you think about it, like different cultures are different cultures. But there's only, you know, I think the culture of the gospel is the most important. But there's definitely differences, but as long as we can, you know, align on gospel culture, I think that's, you know, most important.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Ultimate goal. Well, Prisca, you shared your journey with us, you know, in terms of, you know, how it was, you know, dealing with your family prior to your baptism and then being baptized, serving a mission. Now you're here at BYU. Living your life and continue your journey in the gospel. So how has, if any, your family support towards you changed? Like, how is it now in terms of after all you've done now up to this point? Like, are they still a bit apprehensive or are they more accepting? How is that relationship for you now?
Well, I feel like things gotten a little better now, like I'm a little bit mature as well. Obviously at first it was really a struggle. Like I just like would not even bring like any topic like centering the gospel because it was more like I felt like it was a fight. Like I'll tell them something like, no, that's wrong. And I'm like, and I don't like, I was like, no. And I am a very like, okay, you're trying to prove me wrong. I don't like being wrong. So therefore I'm a, you know, yeah. I'm a prove my point. That's why I was with them. I was like, no. Y'all don't know that. I'm the one who's been taking the lesson with the mission. So therefore, I know what I'm talking about. So, and then we'll just go back and forth. And then that wasn't really helpful. Yeah. And we'll just like argue and then fight. And I'm like, and then just like get messier. And I've also learned, like, obviously my family's still not, like, accepted of the gospel. Like, no, that's wrong. Like, you don't know what you're doing. You know, like, careful with that. You don't want to end up in hell type of thingy. But I've learned to, like, kind of separate. Like, when I'm around them, I don't want to talk about the gospel. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, if it is something I love to talk because I know it can help my family. And truly, it can, and if they let it, but they're still not there yet. And I'm learning to be patient mm-hmm. with them at the same time, just loving them where they are. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I get it. You're not there. And that's where I want to meet you guys. So when I'm around them, I don't want to be talking about the church. I just love them. And like, I love you guys. Let's do certain things. Even though certain things they want to do, I don't do it because of my faith mm-hmm. and the things that I believe. And I've told them, I was like, I hope you guys don't hate me. Oh, I love family time, but I just can't be doing fun things on Sundays. Like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, still holding my standards and love them at the same time. Mm-hmm. So finding that, like, common ground and being aware of where they are and where I am, it's really been helpful. Things that kind of got better, they're not as, you know, angry or, you know, attacking as they used to be anymore. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think there's something in being patient and waiting for the right moment mm-hmm. and being prepared for when that moment comes up. Like, I think we're all of our, like, greater families are kind of in that mode of like, I'm not with that, you know.
Yeah.
You do you, I'll do me. But I think, like, I've had some small moments. Like, I saw some of my family in San Diego recently who aren't LDS, but I've been kind of like putting seeds down about, like, ancestry and talking to them about, you know, why it's important we look to the past and getting that all done, like, just planting seeds. But I think there's something in being prepared for that moment when they come to you with questions, or they, you know, if you can be prepared for those moments, I think that's being patient for those moments, I should say. That's what's important in getting connected to that's your other side of the family who's not really in it.
Yeah. I love one thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I love the word hope, because that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ offered, the hope. And obviously, I would love my family to be part of the church, because I really know it'll help them. Like, no one has a perfect family. I'm like, but if you guys just accept this, it'll make things way better. And I already accepted the truth that if my family do not join the church in this life, but I know afterlife there's hope for them. Mm-hmm. And that's something I hold really dearly. And I'm like, it's not the end. When you guys think afterlife, that's the end of it, I promise you, that's not. There's more than that. And I feel like that's when I just have that hope, knowing that it'll all work out. I might not be still to them right now, and they might not join the church, but that hope really helps me. I'm like,
yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Prisca. If there was one thing that you could leave our audience with today that you would want them to take away from you and in your journey in terms of exercising faith in the Savior, what would you tell our audience?
I've learned that God gives us trial, not because he doesn't love us, but because he knows that we can do it. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, obviously, it comes with, you know, discipleship. It's not an easy way, but you can do it. I promise you that. Even in the moments I feel very hard and just like heavens have closed, I promise you, they're still open. And one thing about Jesus, he gives us hard things because he knows that through those hard things, that's when we grow our testimony. And I had to accept that. Instead of asking the whys, I had to be, why not me? Why not me? Because yeah. mm-hmm. God can put you through it. I promise you, he can get you out of it.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So just keep going. No, never deny the truth, even though when it gets hard. We've seen that play a lot of time. Even the prophet Joseph Smith, he had to stand for what he knew to be true. No one can take that testimony from you because you know that. So, yeah, the gospel is there for you and it will help you every single step of the way. You'll look back and be grateful for those moments because those moments kind of build you up to a point where you are where you are right now because of those moments. So yeah. I'm grateful for trials. And a lot of people don't say that. They look at trial as, you know, bad thing. But no, we should actually embrace the trial because mm-hmm. it's what makes us like the Savior. Mm-hmm. Look at Jesus Christ's life. He came from heaven. The only begotten Son of the only begotten Son of God. And he had to go through like the most hard things. And that's what made him who he is. And I think trials are good for us. Yeah. You can be grateful and not glad, but trials, there's something beautiful. I love what Elder Holland talked about. There's something about, I guess, hard things. I guess he said trial. There's something about hard time that is exalting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's just true.
Yeah. Mm. Amen. Well, thanks again for sharing that. Thank you for mm-hmm. being here. I think we've had a great conversation. But yeah, to close it out, be sure to like and subscribe, share us with your friends. And this has been another episode of Brothers in the Foyer. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Inviting all to come and try.